Yves Tirole-Paul of the nonprofit Food for Climate League says shifting to more plant-rich diets helps limit global warming, because producing meat and dairy creates a lot of climate pollution. So her group created a guide to help chefs write mouth-watering descriptions of their vegan and vegetarian entrees. She says it's important to focus on ingredients and highlight the spices, sauces, and cooking methods that make each dish special.
How do you really lift up the things that are most likely to get people craving that dish?
The same principle applies when cooking for friends and family. By emphasizing what makes a meal delicious instead of what's not on the plate, you can help get people hungry for food that's good for the climate. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Hello, everybody. This is Reverend Billy here at the Earth Riot Radio Studios, which are in a parking lot today outside of the, what's it called, the Budweiser Stadium. It's an island in the lake on the edge of the city of Toronto. And we're performing here tonight with Neil Young. And we have one of our singers, Vera Love. Vera was absent for a few days for work, but she's coming back in from New York City. So we're almost at full strength. And that's, about 14 of us on stage, I think, at the same time. And we're opening for Neil Young and the Crazy Horse. And we're about one-third through the Love Earth Tour. 31 or 32 shows in all. And it's a glorious time. It's a very privileged to have this task of explaining what Love Earth might mean. And we think we have an idea of that. And maybe you'll have an idea after listening to the next half hour. Welcome, Earth-alluia.
I'm outside. Take that mystery swim. Forests are good, oceans, tops of mountains. Well, listen, if you're an urban person, city person, top of a fire escape. How's that? Look up at the stars. Just go outside and listen. And let that message gather. The 10,000 living things are wherever you are. Check that. 10,000, 100,000 living, loving things are wherever you are. You're inhaling them. You're talking to them. They're in your smile. Keep going. Keep going forward. Keep going outside. Don't be afraid. Don't hesitate. Trust, loyalty. The earth wants you. The earth loves you. The earth feels at home with you. You're not violating anybody. Come on, just keep going. And if you love the earth, spend the time. The earth gives you something to bring back to us, your people. We're waiting for your message. We're missing it. We need you to go outside. Don't be afraid now. Do it. The unknown has an experience for you. It's not information. It's the soul thing you got to do now, the body thing, and bring it back. Love the earth. Call it fabulous. It's unknowable. But it's you. It's you. It's you and us. Bring it back now. The earth wants you. The earth loves you. Call it the fabulous unknown.
I can't compete.
Thanks for being part of this with us. We appreciate you, and so do all the farmers. Believe me, they know what's going on. They know who's coming and who's not coming. They know who's standing with them. So you should be very happy about being there with these people, because they're great people. And you listen to them talk about the earth, and you listen to them talk about their children and the water and all these things that are so valuable, that are so buried on TV, so buried in the cities, that you don't see them or you don't hear about them the same way as you do from the people who live with them. And that's the American farmer and people who live in the country with them. What's your favorite planet? Earth? Could you say that with a little more authority in it? Thank you. I appreciate it. It makes me feel good to hear that. I'm gonna sing a song with you now. It's like a 1960s Hootenanny. We're gonna do it together. And there's only one word in it, Earth. Well, there's another word, it's a beautiful word, it's love. Both those words are together in this song. So it's like, if you can sing it, it's like, lovers, that's it. But if you're a big guy and you don't want to sing it that high, lovers, you can sing it any way you want, but just sing it from your heart so that we can all feel each other. Because this is it, folks. There's no one time that you can say this is it. It's just all the times now that we can say this is it. So sing this with me and we'll see what happens, because my part's a lot harder than yours. Love. was one time lover. Lover, love comes back to you. Lover, is such an easy thing to do. Lover, till the water and the air is pure. For the birds in the sky and the fish is deep in the sea. Fishes deep in the sea.
Margaret, I'm an organizer with the Debt Collective.
I'm Tony, organizer with the Debt Collective.
And we are here tabling at the May 14th Neil Young show at Forest Hills Stadium. Always excited to talk to people about debt.
We're not in debt because we're living beyond our means. We're in debt because we've been denied the means to live. So it's actually... it's not a mistake, it's a function of the system that we live within. And so once you realize that and try and flip it in the ways that we're talking about, like, mm-hmm. it can go from a source of embarrassment and to, you know, something that yeah. you can draw power and from.
I'd say one of my personally, like, most radicalizing experiences in this realm was my partner when I was in college 11 years ago died of meningitis. We were in college in Wisconsin, and he had insurance through his mom in Minnesota and had Minnesota care, and it was like something in the hospital before he died. We got some type of, I think it was an MRI or something, whatever, and then there was some tax afterwards, because I was talking to his mom, you know, in the months after, and she told me about how there was an extra tax because he died out of state. And that phrase has stayed in my head. And this is not, that's not like a special snowflake story. That is like, that is the story. That is just what happens when we have flipped the script on money controls us. Everything is for the profit motive rather than an actual society of, you know, that we build together. You know, and I'm really, like, I love the work that, you know, so many people are doing to buy debt and erase it because it's an absolutely, like, necessary thing. People are struggling under this, but it shouldn't be divorced from the analysis as well, that this is not something that happens in a vacuum. This is something that happens when, again, you know, these things that we need to stay alive are ways that people, the 1%, lines their pockets.
Hello, welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. A federal judge has restored Endangered Species Act protections for the gray wolf. In a decision that addressed three related challenges filed by environmental groups, U.S. District Judge Jeffrey White struck down the Fish and Wildlife Service's decision to remove the gray wolf's Endangered Species Act protections. The decision again designates the gray wolf as a threatened species in the lower 48 states, with the exception of the Northern Rockies population, for which wolf protections were removed by Congress in 2011. In Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming, state governments manage the wolf populations. Environmental groups and animal lovers cheered the 26-page opinion. The gray wolf is an apex predator. Their presence and well-being has a cascading positive impact on many other species in their habitat. The koala has been added to the critically endangered species list by the Australian government. The impact of prolonged drought, followed by the black summer bushfires, and the cumulative impacts of disease, urbanization, and habitat loss over the past 20 years have led to the decision. The Australian government has pledged $50 million Australian to support the koala and its habitat. Scientists have developed the first fully autonomous biohybrid fish from human stem cell-derived cardiac muscle cells. The artificial fish swims by recreating the muscle contractions of a pumping heart, bringing researchers one step closer to developing a more complex artificial muscular pump and providing a platform to study heart disease like arrhythmia. Cockatoos have shown an extraordinary ability to complete a task by combining simple tools, demonstrating that this cognitive ability is not found only in primates. Tool use is rare in animals, particularly compound tools, where two elements are fixed together, such as a spear or an axe, or composite tools, where two items like a stick and a rock are used together. In humans, these types of tools have evolved into recreational activities, such as hockey, cricket, or golf, and it was this that inspired the study design. The Goffin's cockatoo, which is known for its problem-solving skills and its ability to use single tools such as sticks to open up nut and seed shells, had to manipulate a ball through a hole into a and then use a stick to push the ball to one side of the box where it triggers a trapdoor mechanism. Three of the cockatoos figured out how to use the stick to maneuver the ball into the right position to the treat, showing a high level of tool innovation. For the first time, researchers observed chimpanzees in Gabon, West Africa, applying insects to their wounds and the wounds of others. In a study published February 7th in the journal Current Biology, scientists describe this wound-tending behavior and argue that it is evidence that chimpanzees have the capacity for prosocial behaviors that have been linked with empathy in humans. Prosocial behavior is behavior that acts in the best interests of others rather than just oneself. This wasn't the first time that non-human animals had been observed self-medicating. Researchers have reported that bears, elephants, and bees do it too. What is remarkable is that so far, insect applications have never been observed, and that the chimps not only treat their own, but also the wounds of others. Lower-income human populations currently face a 40% higher exposure to heat waves than people with higher incomes, according to a new study. By the end of the century, the poorest 25% of the world's population will be exposed to heat waves at a rate equivalent to the rest of the population combined. The study adds to a growing body of evidence that populations who have contributed the least to anthropogenic climate change often bear the brunt of climate change impacts. Babies and children sitting in bicycle trailers breathe in more polluted air than the adults riding the bike that pull them. But trailer covers cut pollution levels in half. Air pollution is a leading cause of death in children under the age of 5. Researchers recommend covering trailers for riders in urban areas. One out of three people in a large survey showed signs of exposure to a pesticide called 2,4-D. Research at George Washington University found that human exposure to this chemical has been rising as agricultural use of the chemical has increased, especially as Roundup-resistant plants continue to spread. Out of 14,395 human participants in the survey, nearly 33% had detectable levels of 2,4-D in their urine. Exposure to high levels of this chemical has been linked to cancer, reproductive problems, and other health issues. While scientists know the impact of exposure to lower levels of the herbicide might be, they do know that 2,4-D is an endocrine disruptor, and this study shows children and women of childbearing age are at higher risk of exposure. Consumers who want to avoid exposure to pesticide can purchase organically grown food, which is less likely to be grown with weed killers. They can also avoid using 2,4-D or other pesticides on their lawn or garden. The brain has neurons that fire specifically during certain mathematical operations. New findings indicate that some of the neurons detected are active exclusively during addition, while others are active during subtraction. They respond in the same manner whether the calculation instruction is written down as a word or a symbol. The mega drought in the American Southwest has become so severe that it's now the driest two decades in the region in at least 1,200 years, scientists said this week, and climate change is largely responsible. The drought, which began in 2000, had previously been considered the worst in just 500 years, according to the researchers. But exceptional conditions in the summer of 2021, when about two-thirds of the West was in extreme drought between 2000 and 2021, the driest 22 years since 800 AD, which is as far back as the data goes. The analysis also showed that human-caused warming played a major role in making the current drought so extreme. There would have been a drought regardless of climate change, but scientists estimate its severity would have been only about 60% of what it is. And now, the sounds of extinction. The dhul is a canid native to Central, Southeast, and Southeast Asia. Other English names for the species include Asian wild dog, Asiatic wild dog, Indian wild dog, whistling dog, red dog, and mountain wolf. The dhul is a highly social animal, living in large clans without rigid dominance hierarchies and containing multiple breeding females. Such clans usually consist of about 12 individuals, but groups of over 40 are known. It is a diurnal pack hunter, which preferentially targets medium and large-size ungulates. In tropical forests, the dhul competes with the tiger and the leopard. It is listed as endangered on the IUCN Red List, as populations are decreasing and estimated to comprise fewer than 2,500 mature individuals. Factors contributing to this decline include habitat loss, loss of prey, competition with other species, persecution due to livestock predation, and disease transfer from domestic dogs. The dhul can be found in Tibet and possibly also in North Korea and Pakistan. And here, the dhul, sometimes known as the mountain wolf.
Let's be honest. This apocalyptic acceleration, this sixth extinction, losing 25 species a day, this thing that is happening to all of us right now, it's just getting worse. All right, let's just, all right. Come on now. We won't get anywhere if we don't start with a little bit of honesty. Somebody give me noise, hallelujah. One more time! Earthalluyah! In the research division in the Divinity School of the Church of Stop Shopping, we've discovered something, and that is that our conveyance of urgency and meaning about the crisis of the Earth, it's being sent to, we're sending it to each other in almost the same way, identically, every time we communicate. It's almost always kind of it's an image, whether it's tomato soup flying over at a Van Gogh sunflower, or whether it's
occupying the lobby of JP Morgan Chase, whatever it may be, we have this middle distance kind of rectangle screen. And there's the activists, and there's the upset security people, and there's the, and it's just the same every time. I mean, it's the same medium, it's the same presentation. The characters change. I mean, they're different people. They're different people. They're different banks. They're different oil companies. They're different plastics companies. They're coal companies. But it's basically that. It's are you with me, anybody? Anybody? Help me now. Help me. The thing is that we present the events of activism in almost the same way, and the language that describes these middle distance screens, these photographs and videos, the language organizes itself to be of service to this middle distance setup, this architecture, this aesthetic. And it makes us moderate. And I hate to say that. I don't want to accuse you people of being gradualists. Because we got a crisis right now. We cannot afford to be moderates anymore. That's over. Over. We got to be radical now. One thing we're not noticing is that presentation that Earth activists give to each other, to the public, it's really identical to saturation advertising. It's really the same thing that is the con job of consumer society. And we, of course, are the Church of Stop Shopping. Now, what you have there, you have a model or a celebrity or an animation in that square looking at us, telling us that they know about what we're thinking, about what we're feeling, what we have inside of us. They've got a product in their hand, and they're saying, you know, I've got the thing that's going to make you happy. It's going to get you laid. It's going to give you wealth, success. Good looks, eternal youth, you know. But you know what? That pretending they know what is inside of us I'm here to tell you it's not true. And that the future of our successful activism for the Earth, the way that we will love the Earth, the title of this tour, Loving the Earth, depends upon us not believing in that kind of activism. You have your own insides. Say that to me. I have my own insides. I have my own insides. I have my own insides. And maybe we don't know what's in there. But it's vast. It's mysterious. It's the Earth. And we're going to get there by music. By some kind of mysterious thing that we haven't done yet. We haven't discovered it yet. I can't tell you what we have inside. Let's just call it the Earth. It's ready to be radical. It's ready. Earthaloo-yah!